We thought kids were relatively safe. New data out this week from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association, however, found that almost 100,000 children in the U.S. tested positive for the coronavirus in the last 2 weeks of July alone. So, what do we actually know? What is the impact of COVID-19 and the coronavirus on kids? And what does that mean for Massachusetts cities and towns that are currently trying to figure out how to reopen schools next month? For the rest of the hour, let's ask the doctors. Call with your coronavirus and children questions and your other coronavirus questions too. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us for this conversation is Dr. Rick Malley. He's a senior physician in pediatrics at the Division of Infectious Diseases at Boston Children's Hospital and a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Malley, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And also joining us is Dr. Laura Arvidson-Guzman, a general pediatrician, that's hard to say, and associate medical director of the Pediatric Complex Care Program at Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Dr. Arvidson-Guzman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's start with something that President Trump said last night at a White House coronavirus briefing discussing the impact of the virus on children. We're going to have sound for you just in just a second. And what the president is saying here, I think we'll just skip the sound and I'll summarize it. He says, I think for the most part, kids do very well. They don't get very sick. They don't catch it easily. And he says that they don't transport it to other people, not very easily. So let me start by asking the two of you, is that the case? And what do you make of the transmission numbers we've just heard from those last 2 weeks of July, given that claim?
Laura, why don't you start?
Sounds good. So fortunately, we've been very lucky that for the majority of children, cases have been very mild. This is always excellent. We don't want our children to be sick, but it presents a major public health problem because many of our children have few or no symptoms. They don't necessarily come to medical attention, but they are at risk of spreading the virus to others. And this makes it a challenge, especially when we think about reopening schools, that children may serve as vectors and bring the virus home to other family members or household members who are at high risk.
So Dr. Malley, let me follow up with you then, because the president also mentioned in his briefing that the mortality rate for children who get the virus is, quote, a tiny, tiny fraction of death, end quote, and that children are, quote, essentially immune, end quote. I just want to find out, do those statements follow the science?
Well, you know, in general, I think it's important to focus more on the data and less on some political statements. So I will just summarize it by saying that children are absolutely not immune to the virus. It's the data you quoted, Tiziana, are exactly indicative of that. Children can get infected. And we also know, both from our work at Boston Children's, at Tufts Medical Center, and everywhere across the country, that even if children are less likely to get sick from this virus, the laws of large numbers suggest that once you start having a lot of kids getting this virus, you're going to have some children who get very severely ill. Some of them, unfortunately, might even die. And it is not helpful to think of it as children being completely safe from this virus, because we know that, unfortunately, as the virus continues its spread, some children will suffer gravely from the consequences of infection.
Okay, so one more baseline question there before we go to the phones. I hear you, and I am confused about this from studying for this today, so I want to ask, it does appear from the data, however, that children are at least less likely to get the most severe forms of the disease. Is that correct, Dr. Arvidson-Guzman?
That is correct. Overall, for some reason, children seem to do much better than their older counterparts. Typically with respiratory illnesses, we're used to seeing both the very young and the very old suffering about equally. And this virus seems to be a little unique in that respect. However, there have been cases, as you may have read about, and viewers may have read about the multi-system inflammatory syndrome that has been seen in children. And some of these cases have been quite severe and have resulted in, unfortunately, death of some of those affected.
And Dr. Maile, what do we know about that syndrome? I mean, it's this terrifying thing that's looming out there. What do we know? Dr. Maile, do we have you?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was disconnected for a second.
Great. So were you able to hear my question, or would you like me to repeat it?
Please repeat it. Sorry.
This syndrome that we're seeing among very young children that Dr. Arvidsson Guzman was just talking about, it seems scary and also kind of hard to get our hands around. What do we actually know about it?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a very scary syndrome. It is rare, but when it happens, it can be devastating to the child, and it can induce all sorts of complications, including cardiac complications or heart problems, for example. What we think is happening with this syndrome, and again, 6 months ago, we didn't even know that this syndrome would even exist, so a lot of these data are preliminary. What we think is happening is that children, for some reason, who are exactly, as Dr. Arvidsson Guzman said, less likely to get very sick from COVID-19, seem to have a delayed immune reaction to the virus, such that somewhere around a month after the peak disease in any city in the US, for example, on the East Coast that we've seen, we start seeing these kids show up with this very unusual syndrome while there's no more detectable virus in them, or if it's there, it's at very, very low amounts. And what we do see is that they have an antibody response to this virus, which suggests that they saw this virus maybe a month ago, and that it took them about a month to develop an inflammatory response that is very dangerous and damaging to their body. It's rare, but when it happens, it's very scary, it's very dangerous. And unfortunately, as the numbers of cases in children increase, as the report you mentioned indicates, we can expect and unfortunately fear that we're going to see a lot more of these cases in the coming weeks.
All right, I want to turn to the phones here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your question about coronavirus and kids. We've got Devin on the line from Gloucester. Devin, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm a mother of two, and my biggest question in regards to kids getting this disease is, what is the hospitalization rate looking like now that cases for children have increased? What kind of hospitalization rate can we expect if that continues to be the theme?
Okay, great question, Devin. Dr. Arvidsson Guzman, is that something you can answer for us?
I would probably defer to Dr. O'Malley, who may have more up-to-date information on that.
Dr. Maile.
From the report that we saw, which was again published from the American Academy of Pediatrics very recently, which looked at 20 states and also New York City, they didn't have all the data from New York, but they mostly had data from New York City, showed that about somewhere between 1-8% of cases of COVID-19 in a child resulted in hospitalization. So it's a wide range, unfortunately, which reflects the fact that these data were collected in different states using different criteria. But that number of somewhere around 1-10% of hospitalization when a child actually comes down with COVID-19 is a ballpark. Importantly, the greatest number of those children did not were able to be discharged and recovered from the infection. But it still is, of course, very scary and very disturbing for any family and a child to have to be hospitalized for an illness like this one.
Yeah, 1-10% is a huge swing. Do you think we'll be able to narrow that down to a narrow band of sort of certainty or what we know over time, or is it really just that variable?
It's a great question. I think that once you start looking at other factors, some of which Dr. Arvidsson Guzman is an expert in, for example, in complex care of children with multiple comorbidities, you will probably start seeing that in healthy children, for example, who have no potential risk factors, the number is going to be much closer to the 1% that I mentioned, or even less. But unfortunately, as of now, we have to sort of take into account the possibility that some of these children have other complications, other important medical needs. And when you add that to COVID-19, that might mean that the safest thing to do for the child is to be hospitalized.
Dr. Arvidsson Guzman, before I go back to the phones, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, I would say certainly children who have underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for more severe complications related to COVID-19. And I would say that's fair to say in my patients as well. Those I've seen who are hospitalized generally have underlying medical conditions, may be on respiratory support at home, and may have required additional support that landed them in the hospital for additional care.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your question about the coronavirus to our doctors today. We've got Denise on the line from Medford. Denise, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is this: children under the age of one, likelihood of contracting COVID, and are there any differences for those infants that have been breastfed?
Dr. Arvidsson Guzman, let me come back to you on this one.
Yes, I would say this is certainly an area we're still learning quite a bit about. In terms of infants, they certainly can be affected, and generally, from the data I've seen, show some of the similar symptoms in terms of respiratory being a primary symptom. In terms of being breastfed, it's difficult to say. We know the benefits of breastfeeding in terms of the antibodies that mother may provide to her child. However, if the mother has never been exposed to COVID-19 herself before, she may not necessarily have a protective antibody to provide to the child. As for mothers who may contract COVID-19 while they are pregnant, it still remains to be seen if there's any sort of ability for the mother to transmit some sort of protection through breastfeeding to her child.
Dr. Maley, I want to hark back to that first call from Gloucester, who was calling about hospitalizations, because there was research out at the end of the week from the CDC showing that children of color are much more likely to be hospitalized from coronavirus than white children are. Latinx children are 8 times more likely. Black children are 5 times more likely to be hospitalized. Why is that the case? Do we know?
I think it's fair to say that we don't really know. This syndrome, this disease, has surprised most clinicians and epidemiologists more times than we can remember over the last 6 to 7 months. But one of the things that has come out very clearly from every study that we have seen is that this is truly a disease of social and economic disparity. So certainly populations that are more vulnerable from an economic or a social perspective are at much greater risk for serious complications. They're at greater risk for getting the infection and also at greater risk for getting severe complications from the disease. What is unfortunately sobering in this is that we hoped that would not then trickle down to their children. But unfortunately, the report you cite really does indicate that the social disparity and the risk factors really do extend across all ages. There are lots of possibilities and hypotheses that people are evaluating for this. And honestly, at this point, I think it would be very imprudent to try to say which one is the most likely. But I think it's very clear that when you have populations that are socially and economically disadvantaged, the risk to their children as well as to the adults is greatly magnified.
So, Dr. Arvidsson Guzman, the big question right now about kids and the coronavirus is schools. What do you tell your patients when they ask about sending their kids back to in-person schooling of any kind this fall?
It's such a difficult decision, and I think it really is a very personal decision as well, considering the needs of the child in terms of their education, considering who else is in the household. Is there anybody who might be potentially high risk? And for some students in particular who are receiving special education services, it becomes an even bigger discussion. Although our special education teachers are fantastic, some of the students rely on equipment and adaptive technologies that simply can't be translated through the virtual setting. Unfortunately, some of these children are also have other medical comorbidities that put them at even higher risk of complications if they were to contract COVID-19. So it's a big balancing act between educational needs, focus on social and emotional health for these children, as well as balancing safety of the child, the family, and the teachers and administrators at the school.
Dr. Milley, we talked to the superintendent of schools in Chelsea yesterday. Her city's at almost 5% positive test rate, which led her to determine that she's not comfortable offering any in-person education at the start of the year. Is there a positivity test rate that would be appropriate to reopen schools?
You know, it's a very good question. I think what I encourage people to do is to look at the trajectory of their positive or negative rates of testing. In other words, if you start seeing that the numbers are creeping up to go the opposite direction of your question, if you see a community where it's 1%, 2%, 3%, and it keeps on rising, and the behavior of the population is not changing, there's no new restrictions, there's no changes in behavior, it just doesn't, it doesn't take a mathematical modeler to tell you that the number is going to keep on increasing and some measures probably need to be taken or the school will need to be shut down. Conversely, to get to your question, once you start seeing that measures are being taken, that, for example, the areas that we believe are representing hotspots of transmission, that those areas are being closed down, for example, that certain activities are being reduced, and the numbers start decreasing below that 5% positivity that you cite, then I think consideration of reopening wisely and carefully could be entertained.
And I'm going to have to end us there or we'll run out of show. That's Dr. Rick Malley of the Harvard Medical School and Dr. Laura Arvidsson-Guzman of the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Thanks to both of you.